I started doing for a day and then
continued.
But I still like it. It's still there. Okay. I must find a column in which I do that.
Good.
In my diary I've set out, I think.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I like those ideas a lot. And then I went and did. I actually continued with the passion test because I thought that was rather fascinating and it got me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't let it go, so I actually followed it all the way through.
Right.
So it was quite fascinating.
Yeah, I'm redoing mine again.
Are you? Yeah.
Because I it was interesting. I went through and I did 20 this time.
Did you?
And I got the first three and the last two were the ones that ended up being my top five. And there's not much difference from when I did it last month. But there was a subtle difference because there was something nagging me about they weren't quite right from the last month, and I'm much happier about them now. But it takes a bit of time to settle into it, and then to do the next part like the markers, you know, and then you know to keep going. So you've gone all the way through the process.
I did. I decided not to think too hard.
Okay. All right.
Decided to sort of go intuitively with it, just to see where it would go. Out of curiosity, and I don't have a lot of time to give it, and I thought, well, let's just see where it goes. And it was interesting to get to feel that to do the markers.
Mm.
That was really it was just filling it out, really.
Yeah.
It was really fascinating.
Yeah.
And then writing a paragraph or two about, you know, why I feel. You know why it's so important to me or something.
Mm.
And. You know, just filling out the passion my passions. So and then I did start writing that 100th birthday speech out of just sheer curiosity.
Yeah,
and that was hilarious. That was really funny. I quite liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, and because I think the next step is using the markers to set yourself goals.
Yeah.
Have you sort of gone on to that?
Well, no, they didn't take us that way, but I did spot a few goals in there.
Mm.
But as you said, I felt the passions, I went with them, but I think if I did them a month later, I'd probably tweak them a bit.
Yeah.
I can see, that feels a bit jaded, and I feel more passionate about that than I do that. And,
yeah.
And I can feel as I write.
Yes.
What I'm more passionate about.
And this is it. This is the process. I mean, they do it every 6 months.
Ah.
And if you do that, you're sort of within the system. And if you do that as a way of life, you're within that system. You understand what you're doing. And you think, okay, actually, I've achieved these things now. Mm. So therefore, this is no longer a passion of mine because it's just a given.
Mm.
But then they rediscover, okay, well, there's this new thing that I really would like to do.
Mm.
But I think... I personally would like to take it further by using that as the springboard to set up the goals.
Mm.
And then, you know, you've got your shorter, medium and long-term goals. And I suppose the vision board is part of that.
I didn't do the vision board, yeah.
Mm.
I know what that was.
Well, I mean, you're quite visual, aren't you? So what you can do is you can find pictures and obviously you could do it as a paper vision board or as a online or on your computer vision board where anything that you... feel that you want to have in your life, you take a picture and put it on a board. So Pinterest, for example, is great for that because that's literally what it's all about. So you have these boards and you can name them whatever you like. You can also have secret boards so that they don't have to be shared. They can be just private to yourself.
Mm.
And when you come across things online, you can pin them to your board. So it's an online version of a corkboard really. So when we talk about social media, you know, I would encourage everybody to find one outlet. If you're going to be online, to find one outlet. And possibly if you're very visual, you might want to do pictures. You might like to do podcasting.
Thoughts about that, but carry on.
So whatever it is, to find one outlet to connect with people online. I think if you can do it with one, that's fine, that's good enough. You know, yes, you could do it with any number of them, but you don't want to spend all your time doing that. So that's what the vision board is. So it could be a house, it could be a set of towels, it could be anything and everything that you'd like to have in your life. And if you look at it every day, it's a way of bringing that into your awareness and then bringing it into your life. And you could use those as goals for short-term, medium, long-term, treats, whatever you like. Mm. And it's fun. Mm,
okay.
So, well done for doing all that. So Helen, you've had a difficult time and no time to put in.
I'm in a slightly different space. So I'm very happy to be here and I'm just happy to carry on with.
Okay. Let's go through this. So what we didn't get time to do last time was to do the numbers.
Okay, yeah.
Now then. Does everyone have a calculator or
yeah.
use of a calculator?
No,
nope, you weren't supposed
Where's
to.
Where's the numbers thing? The database?
It's not on there.
Oh, right.
These, if you've got a phone that uses calculator.
I've no idea.
If not, I could go borrow one.
That's great. What do I need to do?
Okay, have you got pad or?
Yeah.
Yeah, pad is fine.
I don't know where to find my calculator, so...
Okay, let me see if I can borrow
a calculator.
That would
be
great,
thank you.
While
you do that, I'll see if I can find one.
No,
I don't know where to look.
No, me neither.
Oh, calculator!
Oh, I found it! Search option.
Oh, well, you've got that one, that's good.
She's probably got one on her phone.
How exciting!
I know.
You find something new on your
Because I don't use mine a lot. I never look at it for things like that. I've got one in the drawer at home.
Yeah.
If I was going to do this kind of stuff, I'd probably do it at home. So.
Yeah, exactly. Numbers thing.
She's found it.
I found
it. So we're styled out with calculators. We're all right. Thank you anyway.
It'd probably be good because it's just... Yeah, anyway, can we...
Well, is this...
It goes off if I don't touch it.
Okay, so these are a number of different exercises which I wanted to run through with you because I'd like your opinions as well on what would be useful. So these are basically different ways of looking at income and earning money and also what you do with your time. Mm-hmm. So, let's go through this. What I'd like you to do is to think of your ideal income goal.
Oh, Lord.
So, something that you would really love to be earning on a regular basis. It can be in the future, you know, when everything's as it should be, whatever that point is.
Well, I'm just going to pull a number out of the air. I'm going to say £100 a week.
Okay, so can you do that as an annual figure?
Annual figure.
It's going to be 5,200, isn't it? Less a few weeks' holiday.
Okay, so, but is that actually what you'd like to earn a year?
I don't know. I haven't done any preparation about this. I just pulled a figure out to see. I want to try it out with the numbers and see what happens.
20,000 a year.
Well, I mean, what have I written down here? I think...
I'd love to earn more than that.
Okay, I've put my example as 30,000.
Yeah.
I've put down my... So I think, you know, let's be
let's
a little bit...
Let's go a bit dramatic, a bit extreme. Yeah.
So you're hearing that you think... I'm hearing that you think this is way too low. I'm just starting somewhere.
I mean, it's up to you, but I'm just thinking most people would put a fairly high figure up as their ideal earning sort of goal, and this is a way of breaking it down to a manageable level. And I think if you start too low, it won't make any sense what I'm going to do. That's why I'm trying not to judge the number, just I'm aware of the process, and it's going to be have less meaning if you start with a low number. So, you know, if you could earn anything, what would it be? You know, dream number.
So regardless of what is going on in your life.
Absolutely.
Regardless of how much time you've got.
Absolutely, because we've all got the same amount of time.
Okay.
So this could be a target for 5 years' time, for example.
I find that really hard because of all the things that are going on at the moment. I find that really hard. But I'm going to say £400 a week. And that still doesn't make your 30th hour.
No, well, it doesn't have to.
But if these are just exercises, can we just try them without...
Yeah. So what's your annual figure? I don't really want to use my phone now because it's running out of power.
You gave me yours, didn't you?
That's okay. So.
And we should take off holidays.
No. No.
Well, because I've done weekly, that's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, I want you to think of, in a year, what would you like to bring?
Well, I'm just going to say 20,000 for now.
Okay.
I want to see where this goes.
Okay, that's fine. Don't worry, we will get into the whole... everything.
Mm.
Okay, I'll leave that with you. So, write down the figure that you've earned over the last 3 months.
Oh.
Karen, I can't do this. I don't have this information.
Okay.
We should be prepared with our information.
Let's just go through the exercise. As an approximation,
last 3 months.
My income is always so up and down that this is very difficult. I probably wouldn't even take 3 months. At the very minimum, I'd probably take six. I don't know how to proceed with this.
Say on average.
Okay. Would you like to follow my numbers so that you can see what the thing is instead? So £30,000 is your goal, and in the last 3 months, you earned £1,500.
Oh well, that includes August. You really wanted to include August, but I didn't really earn much at all. Do I include that, or you want to an average?
No, if you do the last 3 months.
Last 3 months. Oh right. Oh well, then I can't claim to earn that much. I would say take off. Calculating
it. I mean, this is all good because it's all throwing up whether or not this is the right exercise
for you. It's just being prepared, that's all. With the information. My maths is absolutely awful, so I have to do this again.
You could use the calculator if you
could, but I seem to. If I say 3 months, that means 12 weeks, isn't it? 3 months.
Yes. 13, but yeah.
13, so if I take...
Do you then work out more on a weekly basis what you earn rather than...
I don't work it out.
Okay.
But I'm following your figures. 10.
Okay.
Say. Oh, okay. Let's just say that 900 or something. Where do I put that? Sorry, what do I
do? So if you put that underneath... Now, if you multiply that figure by 4,
multiply
the last 3 months' earnings.
The last 3 months' earnings by 4.
So, Helen, you should have 6,000. Okay.
36,000. No. 3,600.
It's all in the decimal point.
It is, but there's a point after the... Anyway, okay.
Yeah, just imagine it's just a dot and it's a naught. It makes all the difference. So that number then, so I've got 6,000 for mine, is your current on-track reality earnings figure. Yeah?
I should have done it quite accurate. But anyway, yes.
I mean, it's okay, you don't have exact numbers. But
so let me write that down. That's the annual earning. That's... current 3 month
useful.
And that is my what, sorry?
So this is your current on-track reality figure. Interesting sound.
Yes, not impressed.
Okay, now write down underneath that
what
your goal is. So that's the figure at the top. So for Helen, that's 30,000. So if you write that down underneath, and then you take away the 6,000, so you put the current reality figure underneath. Okay.
Sorry. No. Oh, God, I can't even do calculators. This is ridiculous.
Slow down there.
Yeah, it's okay.
2, 3.
I picked easy numbers, easy round numbers.
Okay.
So, you've got your goal minus your current reality, which then leaves you with a figure, which is what you need to increase your income by to achieve your goal.
Okay.
Now, multiply that number by 0.1, or 10%, basically, of that number.
Multiply, not add. Multiply.
Yeah, so 24,000 times 0.1 will give you 10% of that figure.
Hang on, I don't know.
Times 110, where's the percent sign?
21.
Put your number in that you've got to get,
zero.
And multiply it by 110, and then press the percent sign.
Okay, 100. Oh, I can't even do that.
Just put 110.
Yeah.
And then press the percent. Don't press times, press the percent sign.
400 times... What did you say?
110%.
Percent.
What you got? Have you got something that looks reasonable?
2, 3, 5, 4.
Bigger than the number you first thought of.
Yeah.
But not by millions.
So,
times 10%.
That's given you 10% on top of what you just did.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want 10% of that number.
Oh, you want 10% of it?
Yeah.
You said multiply it by 10%. That's...
No, I said multiply by 0.1.
You want us to find 10% of it?
Yes.
Right. You could do the same thing, Kate, and just times 10%.
Times... Hello.
She's going to be taking a couple of zeros off.
Sorry about this. We turned 400. Times what?
10%.
Well, it's what you ended. I didn't quite understand it. Why it was exactly the same number? It just takes a zero off.
I thought you meant. I didn't think you meant that, Karen.
Okay, yeah. So I said times it by 0.1, which is 10%. So 10% of that figure. So.
Yeah, you could have done times 0.1, which you first said. Yeah, you could have done that. That would have been better.
So, okay, so now you've got this 10%. This is 10% of your the money that you have to earn to reach your goal. So add that to your current reality. So for Helen, it's the 2,400 is our 10%. Add it to the 6,000, which is your current on-track reality figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then your new income goal is 8,400.
Keep talking.
Have you got that?
Well, I've got a number. What it means.
Okay, so what that means is, if you look at the initial goal that you set, which was quite large in comparison to your reality experience of how much you're bringing in.
Mm.
So in order not to feel overwhelmed and how on earth am I going to get there, this exercise is designed to help break it down so that your logical brain will go, okay, I could do that. All I have to do is do an extra 10%.
Oh, I see.
Then I am getting on track to earn the income goal that I really want to earn.
I see.
Because all you have to do is just do the 10%. This can be your new goal. And then you can do this again for another 10%. And as you get going, it'll become easier and easier, and you'll be getting closer and closer. So this is designed to do that, and it's designed to help you. Because what happens, I think, and I think this happened at the beginning as well, that you think, well, I know I want more clients, I know I want to earn more, but it was just this vague feeling, but I can't, I don't know how. And this is a way of going, well, let's see what it is you actually want. Find a number, pick a number if you have to.
Yes.
See what you're actually doing now. You know, face that, because there are plenty of people I know who never do their accounts. They never look at what they're earning. They never look at their expenses, because they just don't really want to know. And I totally get that and understand that. But by doing this, you have to accept where you're at. And then as long as you can find something achievable, you could feel good about, you know, going for that 8,400, because it's only 10% more than what you're already doing now.
No, the 10% is what you need to make. It's 10% of that. It's not 10% more of what you're making now. That's a big difference.
No.
And I think you just said the last few sentences that you just said at the beginning, I would have understood more what we were setting out to do. The whole business about not feeling overwhelmed, that would have made more sense. And then if you'd done the numbers.
Okay.
Instead of kind of going straight to the numbers. Into it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, my current situation, my year has been utterly not normal because of helping my partner. So I'm starting from a different place than perhaps 1 or even 2 years ago, if you'd spoken to me. But I've got to start from where I'm at. But I can see the value of adding 10% of where you want to be. And not 10% of where you are.
Oh, I see,
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, depending on, you know, like this number here, it's significantly more than 10%. But it still seems achievable, I would think. I think most, I mean, certainly when I did it with Biddy as well, it seemed a lot less overwhelming. And don't see why I shouldn't do that, you know, especially when you've got a few, got a few strategies and things. And then you can feel really good about actually being on track instead of not having a clue where to start from. Okay, so perhaps then it's a valuable exercise, but it needs to be explained what we're doing beforehand.
I think the business about not being overwhelmed is actually, that really invites you in. And that's a good feeling. Whereas when you just start with the numbers, you're just kind of going,
okay.
What? I haven't thought about this. What? I haven't brought a calculator.
Yeah, okay. Well, I apologise for that.
But you know, it's so true. None of us, most of us aren't that hot on this stuff.
No, I know. I mean, I'm not even, that keen on numbers myself. So I do understand it, but it is important.
Yeah, it really is. We can't pay our bills with goodwill.
No, not yet. And as they say with Monopoly, when the cash is over, the game's finished.
Yeah.
When you run out of cash, game over. Okay, so One of the questions that might pop up from doing this is, okay, well, how am I going to make that extra money?
Absolutely.
So the next exercise I'd like to go over with you is to look at how you spend your time. Not specifically how you spend it, but in general, looking at productive time and what is productive time. And what is super productive time? And what is non-productive time? In your business, you need a balance of all of them. Most people spend a lot of time in the non-productive time arena. Most of the other time will be productive, and then there's a little bit potentially of super productive time. And the way to make more money with the same amount of time that everybody has is to be more productive with your time and to set up as many things as you can to gain leverage. So I'll just quickly talk about these sort of definitions, if you like, for the time. What would you think in your business would be non-productive time? Things that need to be done in your business but aren't directly earning money.
Need to be done in your business, but they need to be done to run a business, but they're not directly earning you the money. Yeah. Like,
so it's not directly a client. Actually seeing a client or working on whatever you... It's not that.
No.
It's all the stuff around it, like admin and phone calls.
See, I could say working on my website, but I think that's the main way I get my clients. I'd be hesitant to relegate that to anything less than productive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, studying, learning...
Right,
important to be done. Doing your accounts,
all the
admin stuff is necessary, but it's non-productive. You're not directly earning from that.
No, that's true.
The productive time, as you've sort of already identified, seeing clients is obviously largely the mainstay for you. Your productive time, because you're actually earning money directly from the time you're spending. So it's in direct proportion, really. Working on your website, well, anything to do with marketing is productive time.
Oh, that's termed as productive time.
Yeah, because
it gets you clients. It's got to be.
Oh, it gets you clients rather than.
Well, put it the other way. If you don't do it, you won't get any.
Yes. But it's the same if you don't respond to a phone call or admin and stuff like that, and you put that as non-productive.
Well, I suppose that depends on how you classify email. I mean, if you're responding to a client inquiry, then that would be productive time.
Okay.
Now, there are going to be things that you could hand over to other people. You could outsource tasks which are productive, but may not be the best use of your time, and that's a whole different level to look at. So let's try and just keep it fairly simple and straightforward for now, but we can certainly look at tasks that you could outsource potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be looking at how that can work, and you'll see that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But basically anything that is dealing with directly earning money is productive time for your business. So any money-making projects that you're organising, that you're creating, if you were talking to somebody about a joint initiative, a joint venture, referring clients to one another's client databases, that would be productive time because it could directly earn you money. Working on marketing materials, again, productive time. Have you got any ideas what super productive time would entail?
Super productive time? I have no idea what you mean by that. Extra efficient.
I think I would say face-to-face time, or maybe actually... time I actually spend talking on the phone to people who are making inquiries. I don't know how much that brings me, but I always think it's really important to do my best for those times.
Mm.
Because despite the web, face-to-face and mouth, word-of-mouth referrals are still really valuable, particularly if you've got local clientele.
Mm.
Yes.
I would go for the sort of live time, but I'd include phone in that. I'm a little less sure about emails because a lot of them aren't local.
Well, all the things you said, I agree, are really important, and they would all be classified under productive time.
Right.
Super productive time is when you create a system around any one of your money-making activities.
Right.
So, if you were to create a system that would bring in clients, it could be you negotiating with health centre or somebody, and you negotiate with them, look, I'm going to give you some cards, they're going to have 10% off, anyone that you refer to me gets 10% off and you get 10% fee or whatever it is. You're setting up a system, and so that could run on and of itself and generate you money for months, years to come. So you're not going to probably be doing very much in that at the moment, and possibly won't be anyway, but you may want to think about one or two systems, things we'll talk about later on, to help you with that. But the idea is for us, and we've obviously only got a few minutes left now, to go through this productive time mm-hmm. exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of this is to see how much productive time you have available to you and how much an hour of productive time is worth, how much you need to generate. And then you can think about how you can earn that money. And perhaps you'll be in a better position to make a decision on outsourcing aspects of your work, whether they're non-productive or productive, that would be better dealt with by somebody else, so that you can focus more of your time on the money-making activities. So we're going to use your short-term goal that you've just calculated mm-hmm. from the previous exercise.
Mm-hmm.
To assume this is how much you want to earn in the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So if you write that figure down, and then underneath that, write down how many days a week that you want to work. Underneath that, how many hours a day?
So just let me backtrack. Your first figure is your goal.
The last figure you came up with is...
That was for 3 months. We're going to a year.
We're sticking with the year. The last figure was the on-track reality plus the 10%.
Did you mean the on-track reality per year?
Yes. So it's 8,400 in our example.
Yes, got you.
So that can be your target for this coming 12
right.
months.
Right. Yep.
So how many days a week do you want to work?
Whole days?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because then we're going to say how many hours per day do you want to work. So you'll be able to then...
No, I have to stop there because I work 5 days a week, but it's not all productive time.
No, that's fine. That's okay. We'll get to that.
Right.
This is.
Right. So just say 5 days.
Yeah, five right. days, and then underneath that, how many hours per day? The next question then is, how many productive hours per day do you think you work?
So currently?
Yeah.
How many productive hours?
No, it's pretty difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's had you done some time tracking over the last month or two, you'll probably have a better idea. But until you actually focus any attention, really, it's just so easy just to do things, you know. And
well, even if I said that I followed my famous timetable, the periods that are down as work might be spent dealing with emails. Mm. So there's lots of different variations in how productive that time is.
Mm. I mean, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, they did a study and they worked out, I think it was less than an hour a day of productive time.
A really money-earning time.
Yep. Yeah,
it's pretty mortifying, isn't it?
I mean, if you spent two or three hours a day, most people would say that's maximum that you probably do spend.
So I've put three, and that's probably not productive, actually.
Well,
probably not all of that is really focused enough.
But then it's something that you can be aware of as you're working. But you know,
if you really put two, and we'll see how this sum comes out.
But if you're seeing clients, then at least when you're seeing clients, you know that's being productive time. And so for someone who doesn't directly see clients, they waste even more time.
I'll say three. I can't. It varies.
We'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
We're going through the process.
Absolutely. So how many productive hours is that a week?
Brain, come on.
So if it's 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, that's 10.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure this is very generous. I know it's generous, actually.
Well, you know, it's a start.
Yeah.
It's a new way of looking at things.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
So, I mean, how many weeks per year would you like to work?
Oh, wow.
Generous like you.
46. Yeah, let's do 46.
46. Yeah. Personally, I find school holidays absolutely wreck my work schedules.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Quite hard to really in terms of the whole year.
You basically want to match with school term, I think, don't you?
Which is about half a year.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what are the total hours available to you right now to produce your desired income? So that is obviously your productive hours a week times the weeks of the year you want to work.
Right.
Sorry.
So I've got 10 hours a week nominally productive time times 46 weeks, so I've got 460 hours. Is that what you mean?
Correct. Yeah.
Right. Honestly, if I said in school holidays, on average, I reckon I do half as much useful work of every kind, housework,
Absolutely.
Emails, seeing clients, of everything, as I do in non-school time. That would be realistic, but I'll come to that later.
I know. this is a starting point, going through the process.
That's what we need.
So, what must you generate per hour?
So, if I take what I need to get,
yep. So what your target
divide my hours, divide it by my hours that I've got to get in.
Yeah. So, take the first figure, 8,400 in your case. Divided by 480.
Sorry,
your short term goal, the first figure at the top, the pound figure.
Yeah.
Take that divided by the number of hours you've got in the year. To get the number.
That says 18.26.
Okay, so look at that.
That's about right, yeah. So then that'll be the hourly rate. Well, not the hourly rate. That is how much you need to generate per hour.
Per each of those 2 hours. I
need to go and work in London. They charge 80 quid an hour, don't they?
Well, I just went to see this homeopath in Bath, and she charged me £85 for her first consultation.
In Bath, yeah.
Now, I charge near London. 60 at the moment.
Great.
But that's only for a first visit, and that's 2 hours, you know, plus the homework. So it's an hourly rate. No way is it... No way.
Well, you are. An hourly rate is what?
Because I might spend one or two hours, or I might spend 6 or 7 hours actually working on each case. It depends on what it brings up. Unless I can't foresee.
I know, 8 point. No. Where's the point?
So I think to get it, what's your destination when you added the 10% on? Have you got that?
The 5740.
Right. So you put that in your calculator and you divide it by how many effective hours a week you reckon you got.
I think it's more like £8.
Yes, it is. That's what I didn't understand. £8? Well, I should understand.
Generate £8
an hour.
Per productive hour.
Oh, well, that's not being paid. Yeah, okay, that's spread over.
That is spread over.
That's spread over. And I don't know why I work that much, actually, in realistic terms. It's just
so I would have to say that ought to be, if I was working effectively, that ought to bring me in something in excess of £180 a working week. That would, because that on my 10 hours would work out at 18.26 per productive hour.
So you can use these numbers for a variety of ways.
Okay.
You can start thinking about it. It might help you focus more on productive work, what work you do, what work you could give to somebody else to do to enable you to do the things that you have to do, whether that's seeing more clients or whether it's setting up some deals, some collaborations, and that's something we'll talk about later as well, to help you get that hourly rate up.
Mm.
And then, you know, you could look at, well, can I outsource some tasks to other people? Anything that they would charge me less than my hourly rate for, I could afford. But I think perhaps at the rates that you've got at the moment, you probably might struggle with that. But for example, sometimes you can get a bookkeeper who doesn't charge very much at all.
If and that's something you sweat over, that could be definitely time well spent, because I think when you sweat over bookkeeping, you spend more time worrying about having to do it than you do about actually doing it.
Exactly. And I knew someone who was charging something like £8 an hour, £6 an hour even, for bookkeeping and web work. And I don't know why she was charging so little. She was really good at what she did. But, you know,
yes,
that was up to her.
I think that straight away throws me back to where we came in about organising my time. And I think until my time is passably well organised, this isn't worth much.
Yeah.
I have to do the time blocking, I have to do the, you know, reasonably strict timetable, although I know things come along. And then I can begin to see within my work time how much of it is productive. But if it's all scattered over the week like corn on a field, then I can't see what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is another thing to layer. Really, on top of what we've talked about before. And I think when you have reasons and you have, okay, well, actually what I could do is I could set this thing up, or I could set this marketing activity up, and that's actually going to bring in this, and therefore I can devote this time to it. And it's just a sort of a layering process, really, to make things worth doing. And you've got a good reason for doing it, and you understand why I'm going to do this, because it's going to bring me these results. And so it's hopefully opening your eyes up to what you do and what you want out of it.
£6.
Yes. Because really, if I added up all my productive time, well, for example, would I include this? Would I include this workshop? I mean,
no.
That's non-productive,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not direct, but I have trouble with that. I think, just because it's not direct, but it's nonetheless, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it was productive. So I struggle with that.
Yeah, maybe it's just the wording of productive. It's not that it's not productive, it's not useful, but it's not directly earning you money from being here.
No, I do have trouble with that, because I do feel like there's so many things that are less direct. If I don't do them, I'll be snowed under, like dealing with emails, like clearing out my email inbox, outbox, blah blah, you know, filing. If I don't do that, I'll just be in a heap.
Yeah, absolutely.
So although it doesn't earn me money, it is as essential as putting manure on your garden before you plant your crops. I don't get this distinction.
Well, I'm not saying you have to increase your productive time. I'm saying that your non-productive time is non-money-making time.
I think it's too blurry. No, because I just think that it's hiding. It's a hiding a truth when you say that the background stuff isn't directly. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
I have trouble making that nice, clear distinction. I don't see that. So, I just see that it all has to be done.
Yeah.
Although I definitely must have the front end, get clients, get payments, deal with the clients, be nice, do the homework, all that stuff. But I know I also absolutely must do all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I won't be able to see any clients. It's absolutely. Like you can't get dressed in the morning, you can't do any work. But you wouldn't say that getting dressed was productive. Well, actually, I would. So, no, I'm not sure about this.
I think maybe
I'll do it, but I'm not sure about it.
It's the terminology. Maybe what we talk is, it's measurable.
It's a pyramid.
It's measurable money making. I mean, direct or it's you can measure
indirect
the money.
Or direct.
Yeah, direct. I mean, I have to think about the wording of it then. But there are things that we can say, like, you know, you're seeing a client, you're earning X from that client, or you created an advert. This advert brings in X. So it's something that you can measure and you can easily change. It's not to say that the other things aren't important and they have to be done. But maybe someone else can do aspects of them. But
okay, I'll try and think what someone else
what
could
other
do.
What other what did you say you had suggestions or ideas around that?
For
farming out jobs or
Well, there are things like bookkeeping, which could be something. You know, some marketing activities could be, because you know you could spend 20 hours working on designing a website or an advert or something, and actually it would be cheaper for you to get someone else to do it, and it may bring you more money than you doing it. You know, there are things like that which. It's very easy to get caught up in, well, I can't afford it really, so I'm going to learn how to do it myself.
Yeah.
When actually you might be better off, you know, making a phone call to somebody and seeing if you could do a talk or something, and something more directly going to bring you that money in that you're better suited for, that only you can do. Unfortunately, we have gone over time, it's 2:45, so we'd better stop it there. There was a bit more that I wanted to do.
No, it's very valuable, and it just has to all settle down with all the other stuff.
Yes,
you know, I'm still working on actually implementing my timetable, and I can see that within the sections that I've designated work, there are further subdivisions. I can see that.
Yes.
I'll divide it into seeing clients and not seeing clients, but I haven't gone any further than that.
Yeah.
So I can see that. I'm not dissing everything that you've said.
Yes,
but you know what I'm struggling with. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's okay. And I mean, these are all, as I say, things that we can layer and layer, and there are things that are going to be useful and things that may not be, or that will be useful one day, but not yet. And I'm just, you know, throwing it out there.
It's all
for
good.
You.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It was really good that you led us to me. It was really good that you led us more today. So I've had a different experience than I did last time.
Yeah.
And you know, sharpen, listen, take it in, and just take it away and chew on it.
Yeah. Do. I know. There's a lot of different things to look at, for sure. Okay. So
I'll take two of your cards. Who knows? I might be able to give it to somebody.